Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. For the Bible clearly stated that it is good for our heart to be strengthened by grace. And we want to receive one blessing from you after another. We don't want to just receive one blessing and walk away from you and then we lost the salvation. Help us to understand your will, understand your word, so that we walk in it and be truly blessed. Not only once, but all the days of our life. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I make a decision to finish the Romans chapter 9 in one setting so that you see the big picture. The big pictures are divided into 4 points. How can we be saved? Or how does God save us? In a 4-way. I want you to write that down in your Bible. Every time when you read the Bible, you read that first. And then you check them out to see whether that's true. Point number one is God's promise. In order for you to be saved, you need to have God's promise. Write that down. Especially for those who don't read the Bible. You don't read the Bible, you don't even know what God promised to you. Okay? You make sure you have God promise. You don't have God promise, I don't think you'll be saved. Okay? Make sure you have God promise. I want you to write that down. You write down chapter 9, verse 7. Not because they are his descendant, are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. That's the promise. You have to have a promise. You have to know what's the promises that God gave, what are the promises that God gave it to you. You memorize it, you hold on to it, and it will do you a lot of good. Just like in those days, Abraham hold on to God's promises, knowing that only through Isaac, his offspring will be reckoned. We all know that because we studied a few weeks ago. The first son that Abraham received is Ishmael. Ishmael is not Abraham's offspring. And we know that when Sarah passed away, Abraham Mary and another wife, the third wife, Keturah, has 6 sons. 6 of them are not his offspring. You got to know that. You don't know that? Then you think, oh, I'm Abraham's offspring. I'm sorry, you are not Abraham's offspring. You have to have God's promise. Not man's promise, God's promise. Only through Isaac, your offspring will be reckoned. Promise number one. Promise number two, chapter 9, verse 9. For this is how the promise was stated. At the appointed time, I will return, and Sarah will have a son. That's the promise. 9-7, 9-9. That's how God saved. That's how God saved his people. You have to know what are the promises that God gave it to you. Now, in those days, God gave it to Abraham, God gave it to Sarah. Only through Isaac, your offspring will be reckoned. But it was for us. We wasn't there 4,000 years ago. But now, I give you one promise at least. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God loved the world, so loved it so much that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to you. Whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise. Okay? We know that. We have a lot of promises in the Bible. So as long as you hold on to it, the more promises that you have, when you stumble, very likely you're going to rise up. If you don't have God's promises, when you stumble, you cannot rise up because you don't know how to rise up. You thought that God forsaken you. Okay? Now, number two. So I'll write that down. Romans 9:7 and 9:9. Number two, how God saved you. You got to have God's election. You know that. God's purpose in election. Election means God chosen you. You write that down? 9:11. Yet, before the twins were born or have done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election may stand. When God has chosen you, and when you walk away from Him, He will discipline you in such a way, eventually you come back. So you write that down, 9:11, that is 2,000 years ago, and God's chosen Abraham too. You remember that? Out of chapter 11, and then Genesis chapter 12, God has chosen Abraham and called him out of his native land, his country, his father, his tribe, his relative, call him out and take him to the promised land. So Abraham was chosen. That's why God say, I am the God of Abraham. Now, Abraham, at the age of 100, and God promised him to have a son, Isaac. And later on, we know that Isaac has two sons, twins. Before they were born, and then the Bible say, the older will serve the younger. The older will serve the younger. In order that God's purpose in election may stand. Verse 12, not by work, but by him who called. By him who called. You write that down. Number three. God's calling. First of all, you have to know God's promises, singular or plural. Secondly, you have to know God's will in election. Know that he chosen you. 9:11 and 9:12. God called you. When you write down God called you, you write down, Abram used to be called Abram. Later on, God called his name Abraham. Before Isaac was born, Genesis 17:19, you call him Isaac. Also in Genesis, we know that his father, his parents give a Jacob name called Jacob. But God changed his name, call him Israel. From Jacob to Israel. Jacob, his parents gave him the name. Israel, Heavenly Father gave him the name. Listen to me carefully. The Bible says, I am the God of Abraham, because God called him. I'm the God of Isaac, because God called him his name, Isaac. And then later on, mentioned it twice in Genesis. God said to Jacob, from this day on, your name is going to be called Israel. So that's why the Bible says, I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, I am the God of Israel. And for sure, I know these three persons are saved by God. Am I right? But not others. So you have to know whether you are called by God. I want you to write that down. 4,000 years ago, God called Abraham, God called Isaac, God called Israel. 4,000 years later, and God called us through the writing of Apostle Paul. I want you to write that down. 1:5, God calls to obedience that come from faith, number one. 1:6, God calls to belong to Jesus Christ. Number 3, 1:7, God calls to be the saint, to be holy people. 1:5, 1:6, 1:7. Brother and sister, make sure you know God call you. All right? God called you to the obedience that come from faith. Follow after me. God called you to the obedience that come from faith. Secondly, God called you to belong to Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself. You don't do your own thing, man. You make sure you know that God called you to belong to Jesus Christ. Finally, God called you to be a holy people, to be the saint. Because only the saint has the blessing of the salvation. I want you to circle the word saint. You write down Psalm 149, 4 and 5. The saint had this kind of honor and glory to receive salvation from God because they are the humble one. I read that to you, Psalm 149, 4. The Lord takes delight in his people. He will crown the humble with salvation. Let the saint, you write that down, 1:7, Roman. God called you to be the saint. When you become holy, let the saint rejoice in this honor, in this glory of salvation, and then sing for joy on their bed. The saint not only have the glory and honor of salvation, the saint, according to 149:9, also have the honor and glory to reign with Jesus, to judge the wicked people. To judge the wicked people. Okay? So, 145, 4 and 5, and 145, 9. God call you and give you a promise. God call you. He make up his mind. He determined that his will is to select you, elect you, and chosen you. And then God call you. You write down Romans 1:5, 1:6, 1:7. Don't ever tell me only Abraham has the blessing to be called by God. We all have the blessing to be called by God. Am I right? But you don't read the Bible, you don't even know, right? Should we read the Bible? Don't just believe in what other people tell you. You study yourself. You hide it within your heart so that you won't sin against God. Fourthly. So you write down God calling 9, 12, 13. Number 4, how can God save you? God save you by giving you mercy and compassion. Without mercy and compassion, no one can be saved. promise, purpose in election. We know that we are chosen by God. I want you to write that down. I forget that. That chosen. Chosen by God. I want you to write that down. 4,000 years ago, God chosen Abraham. 4,000 years later, God has chosen us. When did he choose us? God chose us before the creation of the whole world. God chose us to be holy. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. That's why we praise God. That's why we praise God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. God the Father has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessing in Christ. How did he bless us? Number one, for he chose us. Brother and sister, don't ever tell me only God chose Abraham. Don't ever tell me only God chose Isaac. Don't ever tell me God only chose Israel. God has chosen us, right? Thanks God to have chosen Paul to be the apostle to the Gentile. And now I'm a Gentile. I'm a Chinese. I'm not a Jewish guy. And yet I know that I'm chosen. Make sure you remember Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. You are chosen. In other words, God's purpose in election is in you also. Okay? God has chosen you. When did he choose you? Not the day you were born. Before you were born. Before the creation of the world. God the Father chose us in Christ Jesus before the creation of the world. To be holy, chose us to be holy, and chose us to be blameless in his sight. How can we be blameless in his sight? You write that down. 1:16. Because we were chosen to belong. We are called to belong to who? Belong to Jesus Christ. When you are in Jesus Christ, you are blameless. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, anyone who is in Jesus Christ, no condemnation. No condemnation means blameless. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 said, if any person who is in Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. So in Jesus Christ, you are blameless. Make sure you remember that. You are called to belong to who? Belongs to Jesus Christ. I read that one more time. Go back to Ephesians 1:4. That's why we praise him. That's why we give honor and glory to him. Because he chose us in Jesus Christ before the creation of the world. Chose us to be holy. You write that down. 1:7, Romans. And then blameless, you write down. 1:5 and 1:6. You say, Pastor John, how do you know it's 1:5? Because God called us to the obedience that comes from faith. Anyone who obeys God is a blameless people. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are those who are blameless because he walked in the way of the Lord. When you obey God, you are blameless. When you're in Christ Jesus, you belong to Jesus Christ, you are blameless. Right? So it's right 1:5, 1:6, and 1:7. That's how God calls. Okay? Go back. We are called to be blameless, to be holy in God's sight. That's very good. So I found out that, wow, whatever Paul say in Romans chapter 9, he say that in other places too. Make sure that we understand, okay? Now, I turn to point number 4. God's mercy. In those days, God showed his mercy to Moses. God showed his mercy to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, take a look at point number four, God's mercy and compassion. You write down 9, 15 to 16. Before I read 19:16, I go back to 14. Because a lot of people, when they read the Bible, they have argument, they have a spirit of, they have evil spirit within their heart. They love to argue with God. So that's why Paul say that. What then shall we say? When Paul present this thesis, he say that all the time. 14, what then shall we say? 30, what then shall we say? Because if we are prepared that people will argue, then you will study the Bible in detail, hoping that you can explain to them and hoping that they turn around and be saved. So what then shall we say? After mentioning to us, God saved us through his promises. God saved us through his purpose in election, that means chosen. God saved us through God calling us. And now, after he mentioned that 3 points, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? And then Paul answered, not at all. I want you to write that down. Right beside 15, circle the word. Right beside 15, circle the word for. You write down. Circle this word for. You write down number one. Reason number one. What then shall we say? Is God unsafe? Paul say, not at all. Then he explained. Then he explained to you, God is just. Reason number one. Verse 15. And then verse 17, you circle the word for, reason number two. I love to read Paul's writing. He is a systematic guy. When he writes things, he knows that a lot of people will argue because he used to be the one who argued with God. Now he wants to save his people. He wants to give, he don't just say, no, God is just. He didn't just say that. He proved it to you that God is just. And then you make up your mind to say that way you agree with him. You understand what I'm trying to say? You know what? Listen to me carefully. You want to lead other people to Christ, you have to have this kind of thinking. Because not every statement that you bring it out, you proclaim that they agree with you. You have to give the reason why you say what you say to save his soul. Reason number one, God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or man's effort, but it depends on God's mercy. You write down number four. If you have God's mercy on you, if you have God's mercy on you, then God say, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It doesn't depend on what man desire or man's effort, but depends on God's mercy. Whether you are saved or not, it depends on God's mercy. You write that down. Ephesians chapter 2. God is rich in mercy, trust us. God not only rich in mercy, trust Moses. Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible clearly stated that. Chapter 2 verse 4, But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, trusts us. God not only merciful to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and now Paul says to us, we Gentiles. God is rich in mercy to us, right? Okay, that's fair. Now keep on going. But if you just read that verse 15, you don't even understand, you know, unless you go to the text, okay? Unfortunately, a lot of people that read the New Testament, they don't read the Old Testament. So that's why they don't understand. But Paul, when he write that, he say, God said to Moses, under what circumstances God said to Moses? You write that, Genesis chapter 33. God said to Moses, you know why God said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 33. Okay. Under what circumstances that God say that? I read that to you. That's what God say. Verse 19. And the Lord said, he said to Moses, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence, and I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Because I love these Bible verses, Exodus chapter 33, verse 19, because I want to have goodness, blessing, grace, and favor from God to me. That's why I memorize that. I also love this statement. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Under what circumstances when God say to Moses like that? I find that out. It's because of, you write down 19, you write down 13. And that's what Moses said to him. If you are pleased with me, Moses said to the Lord, teach me your ways, because I don't want to be ignorant, so that I may know you. When I know you, I keep on knowing you, I build up my holy faith in you, then I will continue to find favor, grace, and mercy and blessing with you. I want to circle the word right beside 19. You write down 13. When God blessed the person, it is not without reason. Always with the reason. Listen to me carefully. When the Lord cursed a wicked people, has to have a reason. I want you to write that down. Proverbs verse 2. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. When Moses gets blessing from the Lord, has to have a reason. You have to find out the reason why he blessed him. If the Lord blessed him without reason, then God is not just. God is just. Because chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 6 in Romans. God will judge you according to his truth. And God will judge you in 2:6 according to what you have done. That's what I call just. Don't tell me you have a blind faith. You have to know why you believe and what you believe. Moses, want to know the Lord better. Moses want to continue to receive blessing from God. Moses Lamb, blessed are you, you get the name Moses, right? I think this is what your father wants you to continue to know him so that you continue to get blessing. Or do you want just get the blessing and walk away from God and then he cut it off? What do you want? You want to know him better? Do you want to know him better? Do you want to continue to gain favor from him? That's why God blessed Moses. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. Because this guy seeks grace and mercy. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Now I go to take a look at another person. Go back to Romans chapter 9. Take a look at Pharaoh, verse 17. For the scripture said to Pharaoh, that means God said to Pharaoh, the Lord said to Pharaoh. I want you to write that down, reason number two, to prove that God is just. In verse 15, I know that because Moses wanted to know God, and he asked God, teach me your way so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. With this kind of attitude, God will bless him. Which mercy will come upon him. But take a look at Pharaoh. What did the Bible say? For the scripture said to Pharaoh, that means the Lord said to Pharaoh, I raise you up for this very purpose, that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the world. Why would God say things like that? I raise you up for this very purpose, that I may display my power in you, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Where did this Bible come from? I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 9, verse 15. Exodus chapter 9, verse 15. Brother and sister, I say that one more time. Whatever the New Testament apostle quoted the Bible, Old Testament, and then he explained the scripture. Make sure you not be a lazy. Make sure you know God's way and go back to the Old Testament and study that portion of the scripture. Most of the Christians, when they read it, they don't go back to the Old Testament. They don't understand what God's trying to say. Okay? Chapter 9, verse 15. For by now, the Lord said to Pharaoh, for by now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague. I want you to write that down, with a plague. At that time, how many plagues has been struck to him? Let me count that. Chapter 7, 1, 2, chapter 8, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six plagues has already been struck to the kingdom of Egypt. Has already been struck to Pharaoh and his official. And yet this guy still remained stiff. Neck. And hear what God say. By now, I could have stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with a plague, and that would have wiped you off the earth. Why would God struck him with six plagues and hasn't struck him down yet? Give him time to turn around and repent. He's a foolish man. He's really foolish, okay? He doesn't know the Lord, okay? Now verse 16. Under these circumstances, God said, but I have raised you up for this very purpose, and that I may show you my power, and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. Verse 17. And you still set yourself against my people and will not let my people go. Therefore, at this time, tomorrow, I will send the worst hailstorm and has never fallen in Egypt. From the day it was founded till now. And yet still God has mercy on Pharaoh by giving this order. Verse 19. Give an order now to bring your livestock and everything you have in the field to a place of shelter. Because the hail will fall on every man and animal that has not been brought in and is still out in the field, and they will die. You disobey God's word. Disobey God's warning, you will die. But God did not want him to die. You understand? Under this setting. And God say that. Now, what causes God to say that? I want you to turn back in chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, said. Let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert. Listen to what Pharaoh said. 5:2. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? It is okay you don't know the Lord. Moses do not know the Lord also. But Moses say what? Teach me your way so that I may know you and know you better. Teach me your way so that I can continue to gain favor from you. You listen to what he has to say, okay? I read that to you. He say, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Right, circle the word obey. You write down 1:5. God called each and every one of us to the obedience that come from what? Come from faith. He chose to disobey God by not believing in what God said. God says, it's okay. I will punish you. Okay? Go back to 5:2. Who is the Lord, he said, that I should obey him and let Israel go? Listen to me. What did he say? I do not know the Lord. And I will not let Israel go. When God struck him down, is God just or unjust? Brother and sister, is God just or unjust? Brother and sister, if you just read Romans chapter 9, you will argue. But if I give you the context, you will not argue. Am I right? Spend more time in reading the Bible. Understand why Paul is saying what he's saying. Under what circumstances God said to Pharaoh that I will strike him down. Because that fellow refused to know God, refused to let God's people go. So I want you to write that down. 5:2. You write down Pharaoh. He's a very proud man. That's why he has gone through 10 plagues. As a matter of fact, in the 10th one, he lost his firstborn son. And then he repented and turned around. He hardened his heart again. I count the number of times that he hardened himself. In plague number 1, chapter 7, verse 22, he hardened his heart. Plague number 2, 8:15, he hardened his heart. Number 2. 8:19, he hardened his heart. Number 3. 8:32, he hardened his heart. Number 4. 9-7, he hardened his heart. So how many times now? 5 times. 5 times. And then 7-13, that's before the plague come, he hardened his heart. 6 times. And then 9:34 to 9:35, he hardened his heart in the seventh plague. So he hardened his heart in the sixth plague of the tenth plague. But 7:13 is before the plague come. He hardened his heart. He make up his mind he's going to harden his heart already. So he hardened his heart totally how many times? 7 times. But because he hardened his heart 7 times, the Lord hardened his heart. I can call 4 times in the plague, but total 5 times. I want you to write that down. In the sixth plague, 9:12, the Lord hardened his heart. 10:20, the Lord hardened his heart, the plague number 8. Plague number 9, 10:27, the Lord hardened his heart. 11:10, on the 10th plague, the Lord hardened his heart. And then 11 times, that is in the, he died in the Red Sea. 14, chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. So the Lord hardened his heart 4 times out of the 10 plague. And then in the 11th plague, he died in the Red Sea. So totally, the Lord hardened his heart 5 times. But he himself hardened his own heart 7 times. Now tell me, is God just or unjust to put him down eventually? Is God just or unjust? Hello? I want you to write that down. Pharaoh is a very proud man. That's why he was put down. You write down Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. The Lord mock proud mocker, but the Lord give grace to the humble. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 34. Proud mocker, you write down Pharaoh. Exodus chapter 5, verse 2. But give grace to the humble, you write down Moses. Right beside Moses, you write down Number chapter 12, verse 3. Moses is the most humble man throughout the whole world. God give grace to the humble. Number chapter 12, verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble man. More humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. When you become proud, you think you're all right, you follow the very footstep of Pharaoh. He's going to strike you down eventually on the 11th plague. Not right away. Why? Why not away? Because God proved to the whole world he's just, he's merciful, but this Pharaoh refused to receive grace and mercy from God. Okay, now I go back. Romans chapter 9. Oh, man. Today we have Holy Communion, right? So, I have to stop here. In recap, I just stop at answering the question, is God just or unjust? So we know, through the context, we know it's God's just. If you're ignorant, you don't study the Bible, you say, well, how come you're so favoritism? No. Chapter 2, verse 11 in Romans, God does not show favoritism. When he blesses you, have to have a reason. Because he blessed you based upon the truth, he blessed you based upon what you have done. Our Heavenly Father, we heard your word. We want to seek your face, we want to seek your word, we want to study in detail so that we can draw the right conclusion. We don't want to be foolish white Pharaoh. I do not know the Lord. I do not let his people go. I resist God. He's a foolish man. When God says something, you better pay attention and listen to it. Because he is merciful to us, he let us go, because we don't know after how many plagues we will be struck down. But after 11, he was struck down. He and his official and all his soldier and army. That's really sad. Lord, I give you thanks for giving Paul the wisdom to write what he has written. And I also give you thanks for giving me time to study so that I know I don't just say God is just. I prove that God is just. And I know that he is really just and he is righteous. And help us to understand. I pray that you bless the people who attend the church of the Apostolic Bible Church and help them to understand your will, not to argue with you so that we get hurt. Help us to be humble like Moses. Lord, teach us your way so that we may know you. Once we know you, so that we can continue to gain favor from you, we want blessing from you. We don't want any cursing. When the cursing come upon Pharaoh, there has to have a reason. When the blessing come upon Moses, has to have a reason. And help us to understand that. And help us to walk in your way so that we continue to gain favor from you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.